ערב שבת,
שבת בראשית. The time is short. So last year, if you remember, בימים ההם בזמן הזה, we started to study the book of Yoshua. We studied it on Fridays. Once a week, we tried to study a chapter. My recollection says that we almost finished the book, but we didn't finish the book. I think we're at the last chapter. So let's just read the last chapter to be Yotze. And then we'll go to the Perashah. There's not too much to say on Bereshit. Right, you need 5 hours. Yeah, that's true. So at Perek Chav Dalet, Vayesof Yoshua et kol Shevtei Yisrael Shechema. So Yoshua at the end of his life gathers all the people to Shechem. Vayikra lezeknei Yisrael urashav, ushoftav, ushotrav, vayitestiru tnei Elohim. So they all stood in front of Yoshua. Vayomer Yoshua al kol ha'am. כה אמר השם אלוהי ישראל בעבר הנהר, ישבו אבותיכם מעולם, תרח אבי אברהם ואבי נחור ויעבדו אלוהים אחרים. So he starts to give them the history. We read this in Haggadah של פסח. That originally Terach was the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Even Abraham Avinu, you see, worshipped Avodah Zarah in the beginning. ויקח את אביכם את אברהם, God took Abraham מעבר הנהר, והולך אותו בכל ארץ כנען, God brought him to the land of כנען, והרבה את זרעו, God multiplied his seed, ויתן לו את יצחק, ויתן לי יצחק את יעקב ואת עשיו, and then the פסוק says, ויתן לעשיו את הר סעיר לרשת אותו, עשיו got his הר סעיר, ויעקב ובניו ירדו מצרים. Yaakov and his children, they went down to Egypt. It says, Ve'arbe et zar'o. On that word, if you look at the way it's written without a he. Va'erev et zar'o. So that she says, Hased he. Kama merivot v'nisyonot asiti imo ad shelo natati lo zera. How many tests did Abraham have to go through until he had a child? So that's Ba'erev, as almost as God was fighting with him. He had, let's say, many challenges. So the Pasuk Ba'arbeh, of course, ultimately it was Ba'arbeh with a He. But the Ba'arbeh came through Ba'erev, through many challenges in order to bring it. But it was well worth it. Look what he brought to the world. He brought Yitzhak Avinu. וישלח את משה ואת אהרון, so then the Jewish people were in Egypt, so God sent משה and אהרון, ואגוף את מצרים, כאשר עשיתי בכם, והר הוצאתי את כמתקיהו, ועושי את אבותיכם במצרים, your forefathers were taken out of Egypt, ותבואו הימה, and you came to ים סוף, משה and Yeshua has given them a history lesson. וידפו מצרים אחרי אבותיכם ברכב ופרשים ים סוף, and they had their chariots that were chasing you. ויצעקו אל השם, cried out to God, וישם מאפל ביניהם. All of a sudden, darkness came between the Jewish people and the Egyptians, ובין המצריים, ויבא עליו את הים, all of a sudden the ים came upon them, ויחסהו, covered them up, ותראינה עיניכם את אשר עשיתם. So you saw with your own eyes what I did in Egypt. That she says something amazing. Vayavo alav et hayam. Should say vayavo alehim. Alav is singular. So that she says an amazing thing. That even the Egyptian that did not go into the water, because he saw everybody drowning, a wave would come and knock the guy down and get him. So every individual got the... That she says, al kol yachid v'yachid shebahem, shimaya yachid boreya, shelo nikanes bayam, גל של ים רודף אחריו בקולתו. הצונאמי, the wave came. That's right, the tsunami. So you couldn't escape it. Which is even the Egyptians that said, I'm not going into the water, my friends died. So if you didn't go to the water came to you. Wow. That's from the word alav. Okay, anyway, you got out of Veteshbuba Midbar Yamim Rabbim. Then they got to the Midbar, and they stayed in the Midbar for many days. Va'avi etchem el eres ha'emuri yoshib be'ever ha'yarden, va'yilachamu etchem, va'eten otam b'yitchem, va'tirshu et aratzam v'ashmidim v'penechem. Okay, so that's going to discuss all the wars. Yaakov Balak ben Sipor, and Balak came, Melech Moab, and Yilachem be Yisrael, he tried to fight by Yisrael. But Yishlach, but he called Bil'am ben Beor, he called Bil'am. Velo aviti lishmoa le Bil'am, I didn't want to listen to Bil'am. Vibarech, Baruch etchem, vatsil etchem miyado. So he blessed you. Vata'avru et ha-Yerden, vata'avu el Yericho, you came to the city of Jericho. That's the beginning of the book, if you remember, when we crossed the Jordan River on the 10th of Nisan. We got to Jericho. And all of a sudden, all the people of Yericho came out to fight. It's Amori, Perizi, Kenani, Aitiv, Gilgashi, Aibi, Aibusi, Vateruchem, Beitchem. Vaishlach lefnechem et tzera'a. God sent the tzera'a. What is this tzera'a? Right, the hornets. But Tegaresh Otam Epenechem, and they chased the enemies away. Shnei Malchei Amori. Lo Ba'al Becha V'lo Bekashtecha. No weapons. Va'eten Lachem Eretz Asher Lo Yagata Ba. You got a land that was already made for you. Arim Asher Lo Binitem. Cities that you didn't need to build. V'teshvu V'hem. Kiramim V'zetim Asher Lo Netartem. You don't have to plant. You know anything. All already made. Atem Ochlim. You're eating. So that's the history lesson that Yehoshua, again, this is his last speech before he dies. He's telling them, Motai, this is what happened. And then he tells them the following directive. Ve'ata yiru et Hashem ve'evdu oto betamim ube'emet. I want you to fear God betamim ube'emet. Complete fear. Vasiru et Elohim asher avdu avotechem be'evra nahar mitzrayim. Vivdu et Hashem. Get rid of the Avodah Zarah that your forefathers had, Be'evad and Nahar with Mitzrayim, and serve God. Vimra be'enechem na'avod et Hashem. And if it's too difficult to serve God, Bacharu lechem ayom et mi ta'avodun. Then let's make a decision who you want to serve. Im et Elohim asher avdu avotechem, asher be'evad and Nahar, you want to go back to the Avodah Zarah of your forefathers? Or you want to worship the Avodah Zarah? You want to worship the God of your fathers, or you want to worship the Avodah Zarah? You choose. V'anochi u'beti na'avod et Hashem. We'll have to see what that means. Yeshua makes a statement that says, but for me and my family, we're picking God. So that's what Yeshua tells the people over. He gives them an ultimatum. He says, Rabotai, choose what you want to do. You want to do God, or you want to do Avodah Zarah? So what do you think the people are going to say?
God, v'ya'an ha'am v'yomer, halila lanu ma'azov et Hashem, na'avod elohim aharim.
Chas v'shalom, how can you say that? Never will leave God.
Ki Hashem Eloheinu ma'aleh otanu v'et avotenu me'eretz Mitzrayim v'et abadim.
After all, what you just told us, God took us out of Egypt. All the miracles he made for us. He protected us on all the road.
We're
in. We're taking God. So that's the right answer. Yeshua should say, Chazak Baruch. Multiple choice, A and B. They picked A. They got the right answer.
V'yomer Yeshua el ha'am, lo tochlu la'avod et Hashem.
You're not going to be able to serve God.
Ki Elohim kedoshim hu. God is kadosh, he's unique. El kanohu.
He's a God of revenge. Lo yisal lefish achem. He's not going to tolerate your sins.
Ulatotechem.
You know what's going to happen. Ki ta'azvo et Hashem. You're going to leave God.
Va'abatem Elohim echad.
Why does he do that?
I mean, he asked them a question. So basically, it's a setup, because no matter what they answer you, so I was going to get lambasted. If they say God, like they answer, oh yeah, you say God, you're going to do Avodah Zarah, you're not going to do anything. And if they wouldn't have said Avodah Zarah, he would have said, oh, you see, you're ingrates. Anyway, what do the people answer to Yeshua after he tells them, no, you're not going to serve God, you're going to go back to Avodah Zarah? Vayomer Amel Yeshua, lo, ki et Hashem na'avod. No, we will serve God. Now, obviously, the second answer is not like the first answer. Because in the second answer, Vayomer Yeshua Elaam, Edim Atem Bachem, let this be testimony, Ki Atem Bachem Lachem Et Hashem La'avod Oto. Yes, you have accepted God, Vayomer Edim. The first time he challenged them. The second time instead of we accept God, okay, that's a good choice. Edim, let it be written, let it be testified. So I saw an unbelievable explanation here. There's two fears, the way you fear God. There's what's called Yirata Onesh, and then there's called Yirata Romimut. Yirata Onesh, or Yira, that comes from that you fear God for what you can get from God. Because you know that God can redeem you and save you and do all these things. So you have fear of God. And then there's a higher level of fear, which is fear of God because he's God. You don't remember, not because you can get anything out of him, because you have any ulterior motives, because he's God. Now, there's an advantage, obviously, to the second Yir'ah as opposed to the first Yir'ah. And that is that if your fear of God is based on, well, he took us out of Egypt, and he split the sea for us, and he saved us from this, and he saved us from that. So as long as he's doing that, that your fear is hinged on all the things that God does for you, so all of a sudden, how does if God stops doing these things for you, and God starts to punish, and God starts to do things that you don't understand, so then you say, what am I fearing God for? I don't know anything for anyone. You understand? Whereas if I fear God because of his greatness, because of the intrinsic greatness of God, it's got nothing to do with what he does for me. Understand what's going on over here? The fear cannot be hinged on something. A guy fears his father because he wants to get his allowance every week. You know, if he doesn't fear his father and give him the right respect, he's not going to get the money. So every week he comes to his father and he goes, oh, daddy, unbelievable, I love you. And then he gets some water, gets some food, takes him to the doctor. What is he doing? You know, he wants the allowance. Now the father goes bankrupt. He doesn't have any money. I said, we don't have to fear him anymore. I was only doing it for the money anyway. It's not for your money, it's no more money. Understand? But if a person fears his father because it's his father, nothing to do with anything. It's not dependent on anything. It's not hinged on anything. So that's a fear that will remain and endure. Understand how we're saying it? So now, Klal Yisrael hears a question from Yeshua. Yeshua's multiple choice question was the following. He says like this to them. Ve'ata yir'u o yir'u et Hashem ve'evdu oto betamim u'be'emet. He said, I want your fear to be emet. Emet means enduring. True fear, a fear that will not dissipate. So who do you want to worship? He says to them. What's your answer? So what did they answer originally? Vayana'am vayomer. Hadilam ha'azov et Hashem. Chas v'shalom will never leave God. Ki Hashem hu ha'ma'ale otanu v'tavotenu menet mitzrayim. Look at all the good things God did for us. He took us out of Egypt. He did all the otot gedolot. Vayishmenenu b'chol ha'derech. Vayigadosh Hashem et kol ha'amim. Yeshua said, that's the premise of your service to God, because he did this, he did that, he did this, did that. Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Yoshua la'am, lo tuchlu la'avod et Hashem. Such service will not endure. You know why? Because God also punishes. And what's going to happen when you don't get what you asked for and you don't get the salvation that you anticipated? Hazakah, exactly. Any love that is hinged on something, on a condition, so take away that condition, the love. You know, there's some people you can imagine. I once met a lady. She married somebody for money. Rare case. Guy was a rich guy. She married him for the money. And they asked the lady, you love the guy? Love him to death. Then he lost all his money. And they asked the lady, you love him? She said, to death. What happened to the love? That's it. Now we don't need him anymore. It's a berachal batala. So you see, the love, what's the matter? Mishnah, that's what the doctor's quoting, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Hazak baruch. Very good, Jaime. So, if your fear is hinged on, he did this to me, he did that to me, he did the other thing for me. So Yeshua says, it's over. Such fear will dissipate. Because, ki tazvu et Hashem, you're going to end up leaving God. So they understood what Yeshua said at that point. Vayomer ha'am el Yoshua, so what do they answer him back? Lo, ki et Hashem na'avod, period. Not because he took us out of Egypt and he did, period. So when Yeshua heard that, he says, ah, now you got it. Vayomer Yeshua la'am, edim atem bechem. You chose right. That's the right fear. Now, what did he mean, Rabotai, when he says, I don't know what you're choosing. But he says, Ve'anochi ubeti na'avod et Hashem. As far as me and my family, we're serving God. What is he adding that in? What does that mean? As far as I'm concerned, you know, me and my family are choosing God. So the way we explain it is like this. That Yeshua is giving Klal Yisrael a great lesson here. There have been those that have tried to end religious Judaism, whether those are the enemies of Klal Yisrael from the outside or whether it's the enemies on the inside. You had, you know, the Jewish enemies destroyed a temple. You had Hitler that destroyed 6 million Jews, God forbid, in Europe. Throughout the generations, the expulsion of the Jews in Spain. They had one intention. They wanted to get rid of the Jewish people. Get rid of the Jewish people means Jewish people, the Torah, the Jewish people. Get rid of. I've said it many times over here. That's why they burn books. They always burn Jewish books. Because that's what the Jewish people represent, the Torah. The war against the Jews, the war against the Jewish library. That's why they always go after the library. They go after the synagogues. The Bet Knesiot, the Bet Midrashot, the study halls. And then you had the enemies from within. You know, came the Sadduqim and the Beit Tosin, and they came along, they didn't burn the book, but they basically said that the Talmud has no validity. So they just took a whole section of the Torah and they discounted it, they disparaged it. And they created a whole new version of Judaism, which is not even Judaism. They did away with Torah Shem Alpeh. So the enemies, and then you have in the modern day, the conservative and the reform, that, you know, they just came along and cut and pasted whatever they felt was worthy of their, effort. And whatever they didn't think was valuable, they just got rid of it. So that's why you don't see
you know, kashrut doesn't exist in their religion. Because it doesn't fit with their lifestyle. So therefore, you know, they want to eat shellfish and snail and crab and lobster. So they create a new, you know, concept called strictly kosher. Strictly kosher means they give you a pickle, whatever you order. They put a pickle on the plate. That makes it strictly kosher. And that's it. A new religion. And they did away with Shabbat, and they did away with even intermarriage, which they didn't think they would do away with that in the beginning. They thought intermarriage is one thing we're not going to give up, but they gave that up also. Once you take the binding out of the side of the book, all the pages fall out, not only one page. So anyway, with all those efforts, you would think that Orthodox Judaism, traditional Judaism, doesn't have a chance. Because it's being fought on all sides. It's being fought by enemies throughout the generations. The expulsion of Spain was the expulsion of the Hakamim. The expulsion of the Jews of Jerusalem to Babel was the religious. These are all... And then you have the enemies within. So they're all targeting the Jewish Torah. And guess what? With all that, there's still traditionalists that are serving God, the Be'emetu B'Tamim, and they're still around. Tzadukim and Baitosim are not around anymore, nor are those enemies that I mentioned from the Goyim. And you still have Jews putting on tefillin every single morning and, you know, covering their heads with the force of the talet and eating kosher and keeping strict the dietary laws and keeping Shabbat. Yeshua was teaching him that lesson. No matter what you decide, Va'anuchi u'beti,
me and my family, na'avod et Hashem, which means, not going to bet. We're going to still serve God. There's always going to be religious people. Yeah. So therefore, don't think, you know, because you're going to go a certain way that the religion is going to end.
It's not going to end. There's always going to be somebody and a group somewhere that's going to continue the tradition until Mashiach. If you don't do it, it's okay. It's going to come from my family.
Yeshua was giving them a lesson in life over there. You know, you shouldn't think, they say, well, if you all do Avodah Zarah, there's no more Judaism. That'd be Judaism. Judaism is not dependent on, you know, one or two families. As a matter of fact, in the time of the Hanukkah, now it's coming up Hanukkah. When's Hanukkah?
Beginning of December.
25th of Kislev. So you have over here in Hanukkah, most of the Jewish people became Hellenized. The Ramban says, you know, one more inch, Christ would have been totally gone, were it not for one family of the Hashmonaim. So you see it. That there's always Anochi u'Beti na'avodat Hashem. There's always going to be one pocket of Jews that are going to be loyal to the service of Hashem. And from there, Klal Yisrael regenerates and Klal Yisrael moves on. So that's one interpretation. And then there's another interpretation, which is also a point lesson in service of God. V'anuchi u'beti na'avodet Hashem. Everybody has their role in the service of Hashem. And one does not have to look at others to what they're doing to serve God and mimic them. Everybody has their purpose. Or you have certain people that their purpose is to study all day long. You have other people that their purpose is to support Torah. You have other people that they're, you know, builders of Torah. And you have other people that are Bale Hasadim. My service is not dependent on your service. I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. V'anochi u'beti na'avodet Hashem, which means everybody has to serve Hashem as part of the community, but on his own as well. Everybody has their own niche in the service of Hashem. You know, of course, in organized religion, they want everybody to be the same. You know, so they take out the cookie cutter,
and they just start to make every and that's a problem. Then Christ said, we had Kohanim, we had Devi'im, we had Yisraelim, and everybody doing the disposal, again, within the framework of Torah. So you cannot lose your individuality. Ba'anuchi, ubeti, which means there has to be an individualism, an anuchi in the service. You do your thing. It's not to do your thing, which is against the Torah, I'm not saying that. But everybody has their way to serve Hashem. There's three pillars of the Torah, there's three pillars of the world. Torah, Avodah, Gemut, Hasadim. There's different ways, different roads. A person has to find what he finds comfortable and suitable and appropriate, and he's happy. And that's how he's to serve God. I don't hear. But again, in the world today where everybody has to be part of one mode, like the army, everybody has the same uniform, same hat, same suit, that's it. To march and step. Anybody steps out of line, well, that's it. Throw him out of yeshiva. Matzah. He plays an instrument. He expresses himself. He likes poetry. He likes whatever. Everybody has to serve God in the individual basis as well. At this point, of course, Yeshua finishes his speech. And he gives the last... the last talk. And he finally tells them, "Vayichtov Yehoshua et ha'devarim ha'ele b'sefer Torat ha'Elohim." He writes down all the events. So he says, "I want you to testify today." Why does it make them testify? So Rashi says, Ra'a Yehoshua, sha'atidim la'ar'er b'mei Yehezkel. Yehoshua was a prophet. He saw that the Jewish people in the times of Yehezkel, ve'lomad niyeh kaguyim. Wow, there's going to come a time when the Jewish people are going to say, we want to be like the goyim. Lefikach ichbit alem akshav. Ve'lekach hoshav lehem b'mei Yehezkel. That's why in the times of Yehezkel, when they said we want to be like the Goyim, what did the prophet answer them? V'ha'oleh al ruchachem, that which you think that you want to be like the Goyim, halot hayo lo tiyeh, it's not going to come out. Hay ani im lo biyad hazakah, it's not going to end up happening. Kevar kibaltem alechem b'mei Yehoshua. God said it's too late, you already accepted the covenant in the times of Yehoshua. So that covenant was so strong that it would hold them... from even those waves of assimilation. He says, "Velo tomru ma shekibalnu alenu bimei Moshe, kedei likanes la'aretz asinu." Which means, maybe you'll say, well, we accepted it in the times of Moshe, but that was just so we can get into Eretz Yisrael. So we told Moshe, hey, whatever you say. Goes. But no, in the times of Yeshua, you had the land already. So now you can't say you're under duress. So therefore, the covenant that was done in the times of Yeshua is even stronger than the covenant of the times of Moshe. If you have a lawyer represent you, say, my client was under duress when he made the covenant in the times of Moshe because they saw the promised land and therefore they wanted, and they said anything just to get in. It's okay, fine. The prosecutor says, well, why did they make the covenant in the times of Yeshua? They had the land already. That covenant was done willingly. Therefore, God says, too late. You can't leave. You can't... Anyway, the Jewish people accept the Torah one more time before Yeshua passes away. Vayichtov Yeshua. What did he write? He says, Vayichtov Yeshua Brit La'am. So the Targum Yonatan says, Vekatav Yeshua Yat Pitgamaya Ha'ilen. All these words. Ubemaseket Makot Nechleku Amoraim. What did he write, Yehoshua? Had amar elu shmona pesukim min vayamot Moshe ad ene kol Yisrael. Mamash, that's what we're just up to now. From here they learned that Yehoshua wrote the last 8 pesukim of the Torah. Because how can Moshe Rabbeinu write vayamot Moshe? He can't die and then write it.
So the last 8 Pesukim, Yeshua added to the Torah. That's amazing, Hadush. Shere Sefer Torah Chaser, Veshlimo. V'had Amad, Parashat Zushit Ir Meklat, Katab B'Sefro, Kimo Shem Ketirim B'Sefer Torah. Fine. That's the Shem. Mahlok in the Gemara, one opinion says you're talking about 8 Pesukim. Anyway, the Jewish people come along at this point over here.
What a shame, look at that. Yeshua ben Nun dies, and Yeshua ben Nun dies.
Eved Hashem, ben me'ah ba'esher shanim. And he lived 110 years. Vayigbiru oto b'gbul nachalato b'temnat serach. They bury him, that's it. Wow. 14 years. They bury him in Timnat Serach.
He was
leader
for 14 years?
In Israel. In Israel, yeah. 7 years of war, 7 years of dividing, and then he died. 110 years.
He finished his job.
I mean, you want to get my phone from the office? I'll show you Yeshua's grave. You want to see Yeshua's grave? He's buried in an Arab village, Timnat Serach. You can only go in with army, you know, tanks and stuff like that. They got to go in and sweep the area first, and it's a whole to do. You can't just go into Timnat Serach to visit Yeshua's grave. It's got to be organized by the government in order to go in.
It's in the West Bank.
Yeah. So it's your lucky day because I'm going to show you a picture of it.
What is the West Bank? There's no such thing as the West Bank. There's no such thing as the West Bank.
All right, the boat time. We're getting close.
Where do you have it? You buy a house?
Yeah, but that's a you know. Yeah, it's from this trip here. So Rabotai, that's this trip here. Okay. All right, Rabotai, show and tell. You're going to see now. Unbelievable pictures. There it is. So you come in under the cloak of darkness. This is the entry to the kever. And then this is it. And here it is.
Oh,
that's it. That's when once you... this is it. Right, Yeshua's buried right over there.
Wow.
That'll be Yeshua ben Nun. And you're around an Arab neighborhood. You know, the army's right here. That's not it. That's Hebron. We went at night.
We went at 2 o'clock in the morning. And still the Arabs were throwing rocks at us.
The whole thing was the whole thing. We went with a couple of the guys in the shul. Anyway, so Yeshua, we were there.
But he lost
him. Shurim was a cannon, no, we didn't go there yet. Anyway, it says they didn't eulogize Yeshua properly. And God wanted to punish the Jewish people. A volcano erupted and almost destroyed the Klais there. So from here we learn a lesson that when a tzaddik passes away, you have to eulogize them correctly. One time I was at a big rabbi's funeral, and the guy was giving me a speech, was going on and on and on. So the guy next to me said, what is he doing here? How long is this guy going to speak for? I said, don't worry, at your funeral I'll make sure it's only 2 minutes. make sure that they don't anyway. So they bury him in Timnat Serah. As long as Yeshua was alive, the Jewish people served God. That's a setup for the next book that we're going to start next week. Once Yeshua dies, then they make a left turn. And they served God during the time of the Zikinim as well. ואת עצמות יוסף אשר העלו בני יוסף ממצרים קברו בשכם. All of that. So, at that point they took the bones of Yosef that they brought out of Mitzrayim and they bury him in Shechem. Why they bury him in Shechem? So that she says, בשכם גנבוהו לשכם יחזירו. When you steal something, it says you have to return to Geneva. Where did they steal it from? The city of Shechem. That's where they kidnapped him. So they went back to the site, the scene of the crime, and they put him back there. So again, Yosef has also been. On that trip, I did not get to go see Kevin Yosef. Although, the kids did, the boys did, Yosef and Judah. That's even more dangerous than Yeshua, maybe not. But very dangerous. Two dangerous graves today. Shechem is the Arab neighborhood. You have to go again with police protection and stuff like that. If you remember Rabbi Liebman's son, Alav Hashalom, Hillel, they bludgeoned him to death at the grave of Yosef, the Arabs, like a lynch. They took him, they ripped him up into pieces, God. Who knows what they did to him? Erev Kippur. Because he was the security guard over there. He was watching the kibbutz of Yosef. He had a kodel over there. Anyway, so they bury Yoshua in Timnat Hares, they bury Yosef in Shechem. And then it says, Ve'el-Azar ben Aharon met. It's the third one. It's Elazar ben Aharon. So he was still alive, Elazar ben Aharon. Amazing. Vayikberu oto begivat Pinhas. Asher nitan lo behar Ephraim. Now, how did Pinhas get any nahala? He's a Kohen. Pinhas not supposed to have any real estate. So that she says, she yarash me ishto. He got it from his wife. And that's the end of the book of Yeshua. So the end of the book is the death of Yeshua, the death of Yosef HaSadiq, the burial of Yosef HaSadiq, and then of course, the death of El-Azar ben Aharon HaKohen, and now, next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we begin the book of Shofetim. Hazak Baruch. We finish many other books. It's a big car. Yeah, we might have a cock in order to see. Okay, maybe not. We start the book of Bereshit, Rabotai. As I said earlier, not too much to say in the Perasha. It's a little dry. You have the story of Cain and Abel. Pasuk says that Vayimiketz Yamin Vayaveh Kain Bepri Adama Menhal Hashem. So Kain brings a korban. VeHevel VeVigam Hu MeBerchotzono VeIsha Hashem El Hevel. God accepted the korban of Hevel. VeEl Kain VeMenhato Lo Sha'an. He didn't listen to Kain. VeIr LeKain. Kain got angry. Anyway, what he ended up doing to Cain, to Hevel, Vayomer Cain and Hevel, Hevel Yotem Besadeh, Vayakom Cain, Hevel, Vayargeu. He ends up killing him. First homicide in history. He's
the world was always a dangerous place. People said, Brooklyn, dangerous. They wouldn't get anything, it was dangerous. It was dangerous everywhere. No safe place. Anyway, the Pasuk says, Va'ata arur ata min adama, okay, so that God cursed the ground. And then it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Kain Asher, Kain tells God, Gadol avonim min eso. So there's different ways of learning that. Some learn that he's actually saying, my sin is too great for me to bear. And Girashta oti ayom me'al pene adama, v'panecha esater, v'hayiti na'banad ba'ares, v'hayakom motzi yehargeni. So he says, you have banished me today from the land, v'panecha esater, and I'm hiding from you, from your face, v'hayiti na'banad ba'ares, I'm a nomad, I'll be a nomad in the land, v'hayakom motzi yehargeni. He's telling God, you're banishing me now, the animals are going to kill me. People are going to kill me. I don't have protection. So I asked a simple question. Anytime it says the word v'haya, v'haya is happy language. Mm-hmm. So why does it say v'haya kol motzi yehargeni? Well, he's happy if they're going to kill him now that he's a nomad? He should say v'hi or something. Not v'haya. V'yomidu Hashem nachen kol rekayin. Pasuk says, Vayasem Hashem leKayin ot. God makes for Kayin an ot, and therefore whatever the ot is, but it will be protected. What is the secret of this? I mean, bring us the Tehillim book, that the art school Tehillim that we had. The lesson of Kayin and Hevel is a very, very profound lesson. It's the lesson of Tzaddik Vera'lo and Rasha' V'Tov. That's an age-old question. People come along and say, why do the righteous people suffer? Why do the wicked people prosper? Right away on page one of the Bible, we're confronted with this great dilemma. I mean, there's no bigger Tzaddik than Hevel. God loved Hevel. He accepted his korban. And what's the reward of Hevel? He gets murdered. That's the reward of the tzaddik. He does everything right. He brings the right korban, has the right kavanah, does everything perfect. And the reward of Hevel is cut down in the 50 days he lived, it says. He lived a very short life. And then you got Kayin, who in this case is the bad guy. He's the murderer. He's the perpetrator of the crime. And Kayin, Kayin escapes. Kayin dodges a bullet. Kayin lives safely for seven generations, much longer than Hevel does. So right away in the beginning of the Torah, you can come along and say, where's the justice? Where's the fairness over here? You understand the question we have over here? Where's the fairness? Now, since page one of the Bible, people have been asking this question throughout history, because you see it every single day, unfortunately. To the extent some people say it doesn't pay to be good, doesn't pay to be righteous, you know. There was one poet said, "What did he say? Only the good die young." So some people they lose faith because of this. And the story of Cain and Hebel is the famous story of tzaddik ve'ra'lo ve'rasha' ve'tovlo. It happens right there, right in the beginning. However, I must tell you that if you open up Tehillim,
Psalms with a silent P. Not too sure why that had to put a P there in the first place if it's silent. What was the benefit of that P exactly? I mean, don't put it there, don't make it silent. Anybody have an answer to that? Doc, with all your wisdom, don't put it there. Okay, I'm not sure I'm understanding that, but okay. So in the Tehillim, what chapter is this? Oh, we talked about this the other day in Seder Hayom. So there's the 100. 144th chapter of Tehillim. So over there it says, Adam lahevel damai yamav ketzel over. What does it mean, yamav ketzel over? The person's days, they pass like the shadow, like a shade passes. So that she comes along and says, well, there's a lot of different type of shades. Lo piresh, the pasuk did not explain to us, im tzel dekel or tzel kotel. Is it the shade of a tree? Is it the shade of a wall? Shem kivu'im. That they are fixed. But he says, Yamav ketzel over. It's a shade that's not fixed. It's a shade that moves. Silo shel ofa porayah. It's the tail of a bird that flies. When the bird flies, he makes a shadow. When the shadow moves. So Nashi was interesting. She got involved now in Hilchot Tzel. He wants to know what type of tzel are we talking about. He tell me, man's life is fleeting like the shade. He says, oh, what type of shade is it? The shade of a wall? Now, what does it mean, the shade of a wall is kavua? The shade of a wall is not kavua. It also moves. No shade is permanent. Right, so it's always moving. So, and the shade is there. In the beginning of the day, it's there, and it's not there. So why is the shade on a wall permanent? Unless you tell me it's more permanent than a bird. The bird, I mean, it flies away. It's there for a second. So that's why I always understood it, which means David HaMelech is trying to tell you how fleeting life is. So don't think it's as long as the shade... that's on a wall. That's considered long. It's so fast. It's like the fleeting shade or shadow of a bird. It's not even there for a second. When you look at a bird fly over the beach, you look at the beach, you see the shadow there, but it's gone. That's how fast. But if you look at a wall, you come back an hour later, it's still there. It says, that's long. Don't think life is that long. It's much shorter. That's what she's saying in the simple explanation. David, question? No. So now, but there's a deeper explanation. What Hashim means over here when he says that the shade of a wall is kavua, meaning it returns the next day back to that wall. The next day, it's right back where it was. It's fixed. It keeps on coming back. Whereas the shade of a bird, that's gone. It doesn't come back. So it's different type of shade. There's the returning of the return shade, and then a shade that's in a different place. Now, what's the depth of Rashi? What is the differentiation between these two shades? Because you need to know that. Because if you have life, which we all do, Baruch Hashem, you have to know that life is like a tzel, and it can either be like the tzel of a kotel, which is kavua, or be like the tzel of an off that's poraya. You have to know the two analogies here to know exactly what you're supposed to be thinking of, what the kavana is. The kavano. So the kavana is like this, according to what they're saying. So you have a story of Cain and Hevel. Baruch Abba Abraham. So Cain looks like he dodges a bullet. And Hevel gets the short end of the stick. Abotai, whose phone is... Just click it so we don't have the... Okay. So now you have over here Cain, who ends up living seven generations. He's the murderer. And you have Hevel that dies. He gets him Sadiq Beralo. But let's go further. You have to continue the story. Don't end the story there. The story doesn't end with Hevel. It says Rabbeinu Wa'ari that Hevel ends up coming back in the Gilgul. Soda Gilgul, the reincarnation. Maybe you want to dim the lights for the effect of the Gilgul. It says in the Pasuk over here that we just read in the Shnai Mikra Bahad Targum that the Pasuk writes Vayeda Adam od et ishto Adam Vedat ishto vetelet ben batikra et shemo shet ki shatli Elohim zera acher tachat hevel ki harago kayim. Ben Wari says that Shet actually was the Gilgul of Hevel. He came back 130 years later. So Shet's born, so the Pasuk says it, by the way. Tahat Hevel. Why is it Tahat Hevel? It's not Tahat Hevel, he's a new guy. We have to be Tahat Hevel. He's another kid, he's a third kid. No, he's replacing Hevel. Hevel comes back. All right, Shet, we don't know too much about him. You have to open up the book of the Tzaddikim to see exactly what the bibliography or biography of Shet is. Most of our members will not be able to say more than 2 minutes about Shet. But the Arizal came along and said, Shet came back. Nine generations later. And a man by the name of Noah. Noah, incidentally, would eventually come back into the body of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the journey of the soul of Hevel. I'll give you a remez, the way to remember that. How do you say soul in Hebrew? Neshama. Neshama is Rashi Tevot. Noah, Shet, Moshe, Hevel. That's the sod of the one of the early neshamot. The original neshama of Hevel, which is a nuclear neshama, it came back. Now, Rabotai, the world has two fathers. The world has two fathers. Normally, you can only have one father. But the world has two fathers. Who's the first father of the world? Abraham. Well, before Abraham. Adam. The father of mankind. Hazak Baruch. Well, Adam, all that he created, got perished in the flood. The world then begins a second time from Noah. The world starts from Noah. Which really means that the whole world that we have today, millions and millions of people, billions of people, whatever it may be, us also, of course, the Semites, we all come from Noah. That's why he makes it into the Yom Kippur prayer, Noah. He's the last time guy. Noah is the second father of mankind. And who is Noah? Noah is Hevel. So if you look at the long picture of Hevel, he actually is the father of mankind almost. Look what comes out of Hevel. And what comes out of Cain? Zero. Nothing. The Mabul. All Cain's family got knocked out of the Mabul. Nobody's left. So you have to wait till the story continues. Everybody says, oh, Cain got the good end of the stick and Hevel got, he got gypped. It's not so. Borei Olam has to be patient. From Hevel is going to come out the whole entire world from the tzaddik, and from Cain he's not going to have anywhere. So he lives seven generations. Okay, big deal. I don't want to look, we're still around today because of Hevel. And then to go into Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing wrong with that. You understand what we're saying over here?
On physical lineage.
Yeah, where's Cain's physical lineage, by the way?
Did Noah physically come from Cain? Like if you trace Noah's lineage, did they come from Shed or Cain?
Noah is the, well, the Gigula, sure, we could trace it back directly, of course.
It came from Shed.
Directly from Shed.
From Shed, and we said Shed was Hevel.
No problem. It's all there. You just gotta speak it out. You gotta work it out.
Yeah.
Now, Botai.
One is this world, the other one is the.
One is this world, one's the next world, one's Olam Hazeh, one's Olam Haba.
But they both work, that's what we're saying.
I don't mind it now, I'm just worried about it shouldn't be there for Shabbat. All right, Rabotai, now watch. So David HaMelech in his Tehillim, he says something incredible. He says, Adam lahevel dama. Adam and Hevel have something in common. Adam lahevel dama. You know what Adam and Hevel have in common? They're both fathers of the world. Adam started the world, and Hevel starts the world through Noah. Adam lahevel dama. But you have to be patient for that. Because usually, when a person passes away, so his shadow leaves. But if he leaves children or he leaves students, so the shadow returns to that spot. Understand, a person's legacy can return through his children, through his descendants. People say, oh, I remember his father, chip off the old block. That's what David HaMelech means, or Rashi means when he says, there's certain shadows that are like the shadow that are kavua, like a wall, it returns. This shadow leaves and another shadow takes its place. That's a student or a child or a grandchild. But there's sometimes where it comes back, not as children or grandchildren, but it comes back somewhere else. Where it's not so obvious. That's like the shadow of a bird that moves in a different location. 9 generations later, you see Noah. Now, it doesn't look like Noah is Hevel. That's the moving shadow. The moving shadow is the shadow that goes from place to place. You understand the two differences? Oh, and that's a great musar. Why did Cain kill Hevel?
Jealousy.
He wanted the whole world. He wanted everything to himself. It was too crowded. I mean, Cain would not make it in Brooklyn for sure. If the whole world was only 4 people and it was crowded for him, he couldn't make it in deal even, Cain. I mean, you have the whole world. There was no parking issues those days. Nobody had cars. But he wasn't happy. He wanted everything. So he wants to conquer the whole world. What does he end up getting for it? He gets nothing. And who ends up becoming the father of the world? Exactly what Cain wanted. Heaven. Which is the regular rule again. That במקומך יושיבוך ובשמך יקראוך. אין אדם נוגע במה שמוכן לחברו אפילו כנונימה. What's coming to you is going to come to you. And if you're going to think you're going to take something from somebody else, and God says what doesn't belong to you, so you're not going to end up with it. So Cain ends up with nothing in this world, because he wanted to take everything. And Hevel, who he thought he's going to take everything from, ends up being the father of the world. Understand how it works out? It's mamash. Why is the opposite? Shlomo HaMelech, alav shalom, he wrote a book called Kohelet. Oh, and he starts off the book of Kohelet with the famous words. Havel avalim amar Kohelet. Havel avalim. I call Havel. It's a lot of time. Listen, that's one pasuk that if you don't know one word, you don't know the whole pasuk. Guys, I understand everything in the first pasuk, but I just don't know the one word. What does Hevel mean? Besides that, I got everything. If you don't know the word Hevel, then that pasuk doesn't have too much meaning. And why does it call him in that pasuk Kohelet? Why don't they call him by his name? Shlomo. Shira Shirim Hashel Shlomo. No, over there it calls him Kohelet. What does Kohelet mean? To gather. Now, simply it means because when he used to give speeches, he used to gather throngs and throngs of people to come to hear the Dirash. It's Kohelet. And they say, oh, Shlomo's giving a speech. Well, they all gathered. They came to hear the Dirash. Even though they knew it's going to be a strong speech of Musar. He wasn't giving a candy in those speeches. Kohelet is a bit of medicine. Kohelet means to gather. So you know what Shlomo HaMelech starts off the book and says? Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet. The guy that says Kohelet, that I'm going to gather everything for myself. Shlomo says it's Havel Havalim. It's a nonsense. You think you're going to take something that doesn't belong to you? Kohelet, I'm going to take all my profits of other people. I'm going to take my competitors of people. Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet. It's not going to succeed. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you know how I know that? Havel Havalim. You know how I know that it's Havel Havalim? Because who ended up with everything? Hakol Havel. Havel ended up with everything. So Cain, who tried to be the Kohelet, but Hakol Havel, everything ended up by Havel anyway. So therefore, what did he end up getting? You understand how we're learning the pasuk? The guy who thinks he's going to be the Kohelet, he's going to come and take everything like Cain did. Shlomo HaMelech says, it's not going to work. Because at the end of the day, who ended up with everything? I call Havel. Havel ended up with everything.
But did Cain ever find
Listen to the answer. Before you push back with the questions, digest what I just said. It's a big derash. I call Havel. And usually when the author writes a book, so the first pasuk and the last pasuk, they like to, you know, a sign of a good speech, Rabotai. I'll give you a secret of good speech writing. First, I'll tell you what the former mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, said about speech writing. He said, a good speech has to have a strong opening and a powerful ending. And they should be close to each other. Short speech. But there's another secret in the good speech writing is that with the concept that you started with, you end with. Because when you started the Rash, you mentioned a pasuk of some sort, the listener, forget, and at the end of the speech you bring it around. Oh, and that's what it means when we said. So, oh, wow, I said it an hour ago. Wow. That's a full circle. You come around. That's a, you know, sometimes a speech is not supposed to be a straight line. Where you start here and you end 20 miles from where you started from. That's not a good speech. A speech is supposed to be a circle. Where you start and you end up right back to tie it up with a bow on it and you ship it out. I'm confident to give our members these secrets because I know nobody's going to go into competition, just like I will not go into competition into your businesses. Although it is strange that everybody thinks that they could be the rabbi. You know, everybody thinks, you know, nobody thinks they could be a pilot on a plane without training. And nobody thinks they could be a heart surgeon. But what did the rabbi do? He's just in the front, you know. He announces what time in highs. You know, what does he do anyways? I mean, you know. So everybody really thinks that they're qualified more or less to be the rabbi. So if the rabbi's not here, we don't need a rabbi. We can do it ourselves, you know. So they're saying, the pilot didn't show up today. Okay, so we'll fly the plane to Germany. What's the difference? We'll get there. Surgeon doesn't show up. Okay, well, there's a knife. Go, Bechabo. Try it. Everybody thinks they can be the rabbi. Especially the committee. Oh, that's... In any event... Oh. So the explanation is as follows. At the end of Qehelet, what does he say?
Sof davar.
That's right. Sof davar, you got to wait to sof davar. You got to wait to the end. As things are unfolding, you're not going to understand them prospectively. You're not going to understand it.
But you have to be at that.
Are you right? Or you have to trust that at the end it'll be extended. So as long as you tell me, listen, you might not be around, but at the end it's going to work out. Okay, good. As long as I know it's going to work out at the end, I'm happy. Sof davar akol nishma, everything will be understood. Therefore, et ha'eloim yirav et mesurta shemor, do not become a kofer when you start seeing tzaddik veratlo. Because you have to wait till the end in order to... And what's the proof of it? Kizikizeh, which is referring to Devil again. Kizeh kol ha'adam. This guy Hevel that I started my book with, he was like Adam Arishon. Kol ha'adam. He had the whole world like Adam did. And at the time when he got killed, everybody said, oh, poor guy Hevel. You know, Cain made out okay and Hevel got gypped. No. Sof davar, when you wait to the end and see how everything pans out with the Gilgulim over here, keep the faith. Kizeh kol Adam is hinting to us. Kol Adam, at the end, Adam is grown. Hevel owned everything like Adam and Ishon. And that's what it meant. Adam la Hevel. Adam and Hevel are similar. And that's a great musar. It's a great musar to all of us. That the person, toothless, say. Number one, a person has to be patient. Just the judgment of God. The judgment of God is always precise. And everything ends up working out. People get what they deserve. And number two, if a person thinks that they could take something that doesn't belong to them, it doesn't work out. Everybody ends up exactly what they were supposed to get. And God can settle the score very, very easily and even things out. So that's a lesson as well in the parasha. That's the secret of the book of Qehelet. That's the main theme of the Qehelet from the beginning and the end, the bookends of it. And that's why they called it Qehelet. Qehelet reminds you, those that are involved in Qehelet, and amassing, and thinking that they're going to take everything from everybody else, Avel Avalim. And the proof of the pudding is, Ki Hakol Havel, because everything that Cain tried to amass from Hevel ended up going back to Hevel. Ki Hakol Havel. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.